You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I don't know how much of East Coast sports fans caught of that Dallas Stars-Colorado Avalanche game last night. Many of you might have said, oh, this game's out of hand. It's 3-0 Stars. Let me tuck in. Well, what you missed was yet another overtime and Colorado coming all the way back from a 3-0 deficit to win 4-3. There's so many Stars, no pun intended, on that ice. Dallas is probably the deepest team in the league. This series has everything. It's had hot goaltenders coming into this series, really young quality players. They're star boys all over this ice. And if you're a nostalgic puckhead, you got Zach Parise and Joe Pavelski on the ice as well. But one thing was missing last night, and I'm pretty sure the Dallas Stars felt the impact. She wasn't there.
She wasn't?
She was not there.
Oh.
And you can't win those big games without her. If you know, you know. If you've watched a Dallas Stars game of import over the last few years, you know exactly who I'm talking about. She was not there.
Was there an explanation?
There never is, Dan. But when she's there, you know. Because the group chat is a-buzzin'. Hell, Biz will tell you. That's one of my favorite parts when they have Dallas Stars games and she's there. Biz is like, she's there! He loves it. This is one of the great things about this sport. Her.
Three goals down and that's your analysis coming
back?
Yeah,
she wasn't there.
Yeah. That's your
she
analysis.
Wasn't there.
Yep.
They lost. She wasn't there.
She wasn't there when they went down 3-0 either.
She wasn't
or
there.
When they were up 3-0.
She wasn't
rather.
There. See, she was there for game 7 against the Knights, mm-hmm. to which, like, anytime she's there, you're hoping for a cutaway of the opposing head coach.
Right. And what happened when she was there, game 7?
They won.
Yeah, they won.
They won.
Yeah.
She was there. Mm-hmm. She wasn't there last night.
Mm-hmm. I want to get to some video here that I want to show you. I don't know how many of you in our audience have found yourself in fist fights. I have told you, Stugatz, that I retired from the fist fight game shortly after college. I remember the feeling of sitting in the street with a car pulling up and hitting its brakes so it would not hit me because I got my shirt pulled over my head and I'd lost a shoe and my ear was bleeding because to that point, I wasn't somebody who had a lot of fear in bar fights, but I've told you the story of as soon as I squared up against this person, I saw that this person wasn't afraid. And once I registered that, I said to myself, oh, that means I'm the one who's afraid here because and then he was good at mixed martial arts and then my shirt got pulled over my head and I didn't do
you
any
retired I mean
I retired.
Were you fighting Rob Ray?
It was not a professional mixed martial artist, but it was somebody who knew how to fight clearly, and I was quite the amateur, and that's when it all ended. Mm-hmm. The bloody ear. But here you've got a strange setting for a fist fight to break out, and I don't think that we have audio on this. I think it's just B-roll, but it's at a Garfield movie, and what ends up happening is some guy wants to fight, and he doesn't realize that he has picked a fight with somebody who's a Spanish boxer. Who's a professional boxer. And so what ends up happening with
oh wow.
Yeah, you square up
square
in front
it
of
up.
Yeah, you square
yes.
up against somebody and you see that they're on their toes and it doesn't go well. And
it was a lot of real estate acquired the second he got into that stance.
Yeah.
Yes. And this goes about the way that you'd expect, except there's also Garfield on the screen in the background as a cartoon. And so it's a little bit weird to see the adults behaving that way in a movie theater I'm assuming is filled with children.
I think that video was a couple days ago. Those guys must really hate Mondays.
Oh boy.
Weird to see a cat right, fight at Garfield.
Oh, come on,
get out,
man.
Get out.
Maybe you called him a pussy cat.
What? Get out. Get out.
From you?
I'm out. Three of them.
6 minutes.
Three of them.
How struck many out. More of those did you have?
Three of them.
That was it?
Yeah, that was it. It was all of them. I got one. Oh, okay. Good.
I see the disgust on Juju's face. I second it. I don't know what can be the longest penalty administered to him.
10-minute major.
I don't understand
show misconduct.
Why he has chosen bad jokes as the lane that hasn't been taken by other sports takers, dad jokes and bad jokes, but yet another bad investment by you Bally's. And it's why
and you.
It's I why mean. You have a corner office in bankruptcy court. Because you've decided to get into the bad joke business.
No, that's exclusive to us. He seems to save the other stuff for Valley.
Oh, he doesn't do that elsewhere?
No, he's a pro there.
He doesn't do I don't we have not had Cody takes some delight in that, but Cody also provides the balance of some good ones.
Occasionally, yes.
But he just fired off. They kept getting worse. Here's what I need to tell the audience about some of the things happening around here that make things difficult. Does anyone listening to this hear that it sounds like I'm in a subway station? That there seems to have been trains going on here, and it's just building construction. But the entire show, I have felt a small jackhammering in my ear. And so as if that's not annoying enough, to have Jeremy then hit me with not one, but three bad Garfield jokes.
Mm. Well, for those that are unfamiliar, we're at the Elser, and the Elser took us on at a time where we were without a home.
Yep.
And they moved us into a building that was still ongoing construction, and they're still improving this hotel. They're working on restaurants and whatnot. And
did you know they were putting in a roller coaster?
I don't. This is a very bizarre sensation because it sounds a lot like my morning commute.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if there's some sandblasting going on, and I don't think it's being picked up by the microphones, thankfully, but we have really persevered.
No, it's a battering. If look, there are any number of reasons that you can complain about the show these days, but today, what I am telling you is I have felt like I'm in a rollicking subway car. The sound that has been in my ear for two straight hours feels like a moving train.
Yeah, it even goes like the sound that when it gets like staccato when you're approaching a stop that you're not actually stopping at and you just roll by one. There's a little staccato sound, and those in New York know what I'm talking about.
John Staccato.
Go sit with him.
See ya.
Get out of here. Unbelievable. That's the path? You're going to follow that blazed path.
Have you ever wondered if Chet Holmgren might be a descendant of Abraham Lincoln? Or if a UFC fighter could beat an alien in a fight? You might have not, and that's okay. I probably have thought about the UFC one, to be honest. But Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion from the Six Trophies podcast have. If you love basketball, and more importantly, if you love fun, you got to listen to Six Trophies, where Jason and Shea serve up the biggest moments from all around the NBA with their brand of unbridled joy, banter, and pop culture side quests. Each week, they hand out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities. Stuff like the Denzel Washington and Training Day trophy given out to the player or team having the best week around the NBA. Or the Lauryn Hill you might win some, but you just lost one trophy for the team or player that just can't get it together. Plus a bunch more trophies for all the good, bad, or just plain head scratching moments from all around the NBA. This playoff season, you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Don Lebatard.
Your history with him suggests 3 years of
those
heating
are the
out
heaters.
There.
Yeah.
3 years of heaters. But this Stugatz, my partner, enlivened by a sports
we're team, having sex, baby.
And Joe Mauer. Yes, like this is the best version
what?
Of him.
What?
Stugatz.
No, you are.
Yeah. Feels good.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Stugatz, listeners of this show are going to be delighted on Friday if you are a longtime listener of this show with who's appearing on South Beach Sessions. I want to show you here. This is a visual joke that they have used to promote this week's South Beach Session. I'm guessing you have not seen it yet, because when you leave here, you tend to not know a single thing that's happening around anyone's life around here. So let's go.
The article where he had to be told and informed by the reporter saying, you know, when you're not there, they have a lower third that says without Stu Gatz.
News to me.
Stu Gatz is consistently coming in here and saying, I wasn't told about this and that and this and that, because he doesn't know how to use Slack. Like, he's not participating.
I don't want to use Slack. Too many channels, but too many things going on.
I know,
on,
but it's the way people communicate around here, and you keep saying...
How about
saying,
pick up the phone? I mean...
Oh, because that works.
I will say this. If Stu Gatz gets you on the phone, you won't get off. Like, Stu Gatz answers his phone. The problem is getting him off the phone.
I'm a big phone guy. I like direct conversation. I want to hear the words come out of your mouth. I want to hear your response to the words coming out of my mouth. I mean, that's the way people communicate. That's how.
Me three. That's how I am, too.
Thank you.
What are you laughing about?
I'm sorry. The entire conversation is ridiculous, man. I'm sorry.
He spends so much time complaining that no one tells him anything when no one else has to be told, because we're all communicating in the same way except for him. He refuses to learn. But here is the reveal on who's going to be joining us on Friday on South Beach Sessions. I'm flipping through some channels in my car, some serious satellite channels, and I've arrived at Real Jazz.
Ooh. Oh.
Is he always in your car?
Yeah, that's where he's been. People have been asking, where's he been for years? And I've just been chauffeuring him around everywhere. Kenny G is going to be making an appearance on Friday. It's a long conversation, and I'm delighted in having it because I got to ask him everything. Longtime friend of the show. It is good to have him back. Somebody else who has spent a great deal of time around our show is the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, who has had a fascinating life for a number of reasons, including he was struck by lightning. And the last time I talked to about him, he said simply that he'd had a heart attack in his last match a few months ago, that he just played through on a heart attack.
Hockey player.
Yeah, I mean, he's
16-time world champ. You just power through.
You just power through a heart attack. And I don't actually doubt him when he says it. I'm not.
Why would you?
Because it seems like it would be pretty hard to wrestle with a heart attack.
And if you watch that match, it appeared to be very hard for him to wrestle. And if anyone's ever looked like they might have had a heart attack that they didn't know would happen,
yes.
It was him in that match.
Right. I mean, I told you earlier this week, no one has flirted with death and is still alive more than Ric Flair. I mean,
and I do
he flirts with it like every other year.
Keith Richards is still kicking.
Wow.
Yeah, there is Keith Richards.
And playing well, I'm told.
Put it
Nikki Six
on the poll. At Lebatard Show, who are you more surprised to still have alive? Ric Flair, Keith Richards, or Nikki Six?
It's got to be Richards, man.
I think most people are going to pick Richards, but again,
if you've died, though, are you eliminated from this competition? Because that Nikki Six is done then.
Yeah, he's died and come back, but Do we have any proof that Keith Richards has survived a heart attack during a wrestling match?
I don't know. Yeah. Nikki Six might be having a heart attack right now. I'm actually seeing him tomorrow.
Where?
In Daytona.
Really?
Yeah, I go to Welcome to Rockville every year. I love this music festival. It's not a lot of music that you would necessarily maybe think of me being associated with, but I love it. It's a great festival in Daytona Motor Speedway.
Who else is playing?
Limp Bizkit.
Wow.
Which the last time I saw, I went to attempt to see. I actually saw Limp Bizkit once with Lebo, and I had an unbelievable time at that concert because that's the kind of stuff that Lebo would want. And he's like, yeah, let's just go see Limp Bizkit.
I mean, their energy had to be great. Did you see them at the height of Limp Bizkit?
No. I've seen Limp Bizkit at the height of Limp Bizkit, and yeah, it's... But what's really cool is they've had this resurgence, and it was totally organic. Maybe there was nostalgia. It's hidden at the right moment. Their videos went viral from the Woodstock documentary, and they're getting really young kids at their shows right now. And maybe their sound kind of it aged poorly, and it's come out on the other side. It's kind of like when Benny Blanco talks about his attractiveness. He's like, I think I'm so ugly that I'm attractive now. Maybe that's what's going on with Limp Bizkit. But yeah, Limp Bizkit's going to be there. Foo Fighters, or as Christopher Walken calls them, Foo Fighters. Queens of the Stone Age, one of my favorite bands. Slipknot, another band that you might not think I love, but I love them. Judas Priest. So excited to see Judas Priest.
That's going
to
be an interesting crowd, Mike, in Daytona.
Jelly Roll is going to be there.
Juju, are you disgusted by everything you're hearing right now?
Trying not to judge the music.
I'm trying to be inclusive. I'm trying to listen to my brother, Michael.
Tech N9ne is going to be there. Insane Clown Posse. It's just a weird, wonderful mess. It's like Bally's sports business plan of music festival.
All over the place?
It's just all over the place.
Do you think the people listening to this know that Christopher Walken is a classically trained dancer, that he's an exceptional dancer?
Well, the Fatboy Slim music video.
Yes, but I'm asking, since it's so long ago.
Yeah, Weapon of Choice is a bit of a dated reference.
I'm wondering if the audience knows. It's not just that video. That's where I discovered it, but there are a number of places where you can see Christopher Walken dance and dance well, and it's confusing to me every time I see it.
I saw him dance in King of New York. He's a pretty good dancer.
He's a classically trained dancer.
Like, you're pretty good.
Thank you for he danced throughout a music video. Like, well, thank you for telling us that you think he's pretty good. But
I mean, did you see King of New York?
He's classically trained dancer who made a music video for Fatboy Slim that is only him dancing.
Yeah, you were talking about Ric Flair in this video. So a weird thing happened over the weekend where. Ric Flair.
Was this in Gainesville?
This was in Gainesville because he had family graduating. So he took to Instagram and Twitter and he posted like this huge takeout of this Italian restaurant called Paisano's. And he mentioned that he got into an argument with a manager there.
Well, let's show the tweet. We've got video as well, but the tweet says, I spent $1,500. First of all, before we get to Paisano's SFP.
I mean, he comes out of the gate so hot in this tweet. It scrolled across my timeline. And I was like, five words in. I was in.
Okay,
you
yes.
got your hooks in me.
He had you at $1,500.
I spent $1,500 at Paisano's SFP to be disrespected. Keep in mind, it's weird. This tweet, it's not all caps, but every first letter of every word is capitalized. I spent $1,500 at Paisano's to be disrespected more than I ever have in my entire life. After taking 20 pictures with customers and staff, I was asked to leave because of an issue I had with the kitchen manager taking too long in the bathroom. I would highly recommend that anyone who wants to enjoy a relaxing time in Gainesville at a nice restaurant to never visit this place. Woo!
Stuck the landing.
Yeah. 5 O's on that woo.
Always. Trademark. Has to have 5 O's. But then, like, people started digging into this, and, like, Rick could have had this experience and this altercation at this bar, and nobody would have. Maybe it doesn't really get out, but, you know, like Rambo, first blood. And
exactly.
So the reports are coming out. People start asking the restaurant what actually happened here. They have their account, so it becomes a he said, he said. Now, Ric Flair is stuck to his story, but I will tell you, his story starts to become undone by the closed captioning in this video because it is not keeping up with him.
Yeah, good. So I didn't do it wrong. Except spend money and put this place over and bring my family and friends here. That is bad for you.
Why would it be bad for me?
Well, watch social media tomorrow. What's your name, job? Nicholas what? Nicholas
Pop!
Don't ever talk.
You don't have to call me like that.
You don't have to do this to me. You're humiliating me and my family.
I'm not humiliating.
I didn't do one thing wrong. I walked into a bathroom.
And you cussed on my kitchen manager.
Oh, you're a kid high cost. Really? What world do you live in? No, ma'am, I'm going to give you $1,000 tip just to say to him, kiss my ass. If you walk outside here,
you don't have to be disrespectful to me, sir. We're being.
I know. You're disrespecting me.
How am I disrespectful?
Tell me to leave.
I'm not telling you to leave, but just telling you that you're cut off.
Oh, I'm cut off and I'm drunk? Really?
Yes, sir.
This guy and I are so cool. She and I are cool. And welcome to give.
You don't have to call me like that.
Closed caption, having a difficult time.
I'll say it again. You're
I think you meant to say dipshit, not Egyptian.
Oh, I'm leaving. Trust me.
God.
I won't come back yet.
Thank God.
Come on, sit here and talk to me like a man.
I'm not going
to
do that because I'm on the clock.
You're on the clock.
And then another guy at the bar steps up to him. It's an embarrassing look. But here's the thing about Nature Boy, and I'm not excusing this behavior. Do you remember the Jason Statham film Crank?
Yep.
In order to stay alive, his heart rate has to be at a certain level the entire time.
Yeah.
To the point that there is actually a scene in the movie where Jason Statham uses a defibrillator on himself.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where Nate is at this point.
It was a heady play.
The party has to keep going because if it doesn't and it stops, he might stop.
Put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Should Ric Flair walk into the afternoon bar with a defibrillator?
Well, he's got a pacemaker. Let's say.
But nothing will break a man than when that man has to go to the bathroom and he's waiting in line. You could have the best time at that restaurant, but the second you're waiting in line to go to the bathroom and you really have to go,
you know how,
that great time becomes a bad time.
Well, you know how this show maybe missed an angle when talking about Ben Affleck at the roast? There's an angle here about taking too long in the bathroom where if you've done some social media sleuthing, you understand what part of one side is and what his side is.
I think I'd tell the guy to kiss Ric Flair's ass for a $1,000 tip.
I'd do it for $500.
I'd do it for $1,000 and I'd give the other person, you know, a piece of that, right? And then Ric Flair goes away and...
I've done it for free.
We're all the richer.
I have a number of things that I found to be interesting about this because he was being cut off and he does sound like he's drunk, but he also sounds like he had a heart attack in his last wrestling match and he also sounds like he was once hit by lightning. And
yeah, he does have a slurry drawl.
But he's being cut off by the bar, and the tweet said something about, he said, after having an issue with this phrasing here, leave because of an issue I had with the kitchen manager taking too long in the bathroom. That creates for me more questions than it answers.
Yeah, well, like, you don't have to dig too far to see the answers. But again, like, nature's gonna nature. The people are trying to embarrass Nate with this video.
Right.
I mean, he even uses wrestling lingo. He's like, I could have put this place over.
He doesn't care. He's skirted death like 12 times.
Listen here, paisanos. I could have put you over.
How do you think a fight would have gone had the person taken him up on the
offer?
That's
a good question.
He would have ran up the turnbuckle, flipped over, thinking that he could actually do a high-risk maneuver from the top rope. Where I think he's only landed it twice. And then he would have been grabbed by the pelvis and the shoulders. And he would have been like, oh, no. And then slammed from the top rope. Why does he keep doing that? It's like Bally's thinking that they can try their hand in a new business. They're literally Ric Flair running to the top rope thinking that he can land a frog splash.
It ends with him cutting his forehead with a razor blade and the figure four leg lock by the kitchen.
I'm going to beat the hell out of Ric Flair.
Howdy, listeners. It's Mike, and you know, a lot has changed over the years. Just look at sports. There's instant replay, a three-point line, there were shifts and then not shifts. But one thing that hasn't changed over the course of all those things I just mentioned, the great taste of Miller Lite. That's right. It's so good. And it's also less filling. So what's the best thing about Miller Lite, the original light beer? Well, Miller Lite sparked this debate way back in 1975. We still haven't settled it. Be like me. I don't pick one. I like it because it's both. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality. Great taste. Only 96 calories. It's a beer that strips away everything that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. You don't have to choose what's best. Be like me. Say both. Miller Lite. Great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
You know how these late season games are. We don't know. It's a big game for the Knicks. We have absolutely no idea how Boston will play. I don't know who they'll play, who they won't play.
Stugatz.
Okay.
So, no, I don't
all right. That's
know.
Fine. That's an excellent promotion. You know, I love that. That's great.
Sold.
That's it. That's perfect advertising for the game, the national game on TV
tonight.
I
was going to watch.
Holy
now I'm not going to watch.
Shit, man. That was a shitty sales job.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Stugatz.
We are about to go deep inside of the intimacies of Stan Van Gundy and a rumpled bed behind him. That is a freshly slept in bed behind him. We are getting into his life deeply in order to get the freshest of basketball analysis. We'll get to it in a second. But first, Mike Ryan has a very important journalistic correction, because you know we pride ourselves on accuracy around here, even though Stu Gott said yesterday that horse racing is dead after they got their best rating since 1989.
Yeah, it's dead.
Dan, I don't get it wrong often, but when I do, I need to be urgent and decisive with my correction. And guys, I had it wrong. She was there.
Oh.
Yeah, this tweet comes from Sean Joseph. Natalie Gavreau, at Sexy Nat G, and again, in the interest of journalism, that handle is at Sexy Nat G,
mm-hmm.
was back for game one for the second round. In fact, I saw a video of her happily singing along with System of a Down's Chop Suey.
So it seems like next game she needs to not be there.
Let's not get too crazy.
Why'd you miss it? Let's get to Stan Van Gundy.
Let's not get too crazy.
I need to get to Stan Van Gundy.
They lost.
Pete DeBoer is elite. I mean, tunnel vision.
We need to bring in Stan Van Gundy and get the freshest of basketball analysis.
Even at Sexy Nat G was that
the
handle.
Games. Is that Stan's?
One or two T's.
Is that Stan's Twitter handle? At Sexy SVG.
That's it. That sounds about right. Yes.
Yes. It is nice to see you, Stan. It is always nice to see you. You have told us that you would be shocked if anyone other than the Celtics won the championship. I believe that I have not seen a lot of teams in my lifetime that do it this way, Stan, where they just, over the course of the game, grind the lead from 8 to 12 to 15 to 19 to 25 to 33 with no comebacks, like where they just bury you in we're more talented than you are.
Well, that's exactly what it is in the East, and I think we'll just see more and more of that. Now, since I have said that about them being the overwhelming favorites, I still think they're the favorites, but we can't ignore what Minnesota and Oklahoma City are doing. I mean, five dominant games by each of them, playing both ends of the floor. So the NBA Finals could set up being great.
What do you make of the way the league has been overtaken by the new blood, Stan? Because this is a different time. We are not used to young teams going deep into the playoffs. We are not used to the idea that a Minnesota or an OKC can do something like this without suffering a great deal. There isn't, in the history of basketball, those teams have to do some losing before they get to the finals.
Yeah, they're just really good. And I think in the case of both of those teams, you know, they've also got great poise. Look, Oklahoma City's the youngest team in this and have been all year. And I've said to people all year, like, when you watch them, forget about their birth certificates. When you watch them, what is it that says young to you? Is it that, you know, well, they get a little wild at times? Nope, you don't see that. Is it that they don't commit at the defensive end? Nope, you don't see that. Do they lose their composure when, like, calls go against them and things? Nope, that doesn't happen. They're probably the most poised team in the league. So I've sort of laughed all year at the people who just think, well, this team's too young. Nothing about them other than their birth certificates says that they're young. They don't play like a young team. And Minnesota either, though Minnesota's not quite as young. I mean, they've got Conley and Gobert, Towns. Those guys have all been around. They're just young on the scene as a team, but they're not a young team. Yeah, those teams have been tremendous. And what we're seeing is a lot of star power being laid to waste by these teams that are on the rise.
Well, then, does most of the credit go to Coach Daigneault? Because, I mean, the composure, the length, the scoring. This is exactly what a pro wants. I mean, what a pro needs.
Oh, there you go. Very good there, Mike. You need to sing that, though. You need to sing it.
What a pro wants.
I don't get the reference. I don't get the reference. I don't.
You want to sing it for us, Stan? Can you sing
do
it?
Do you no, hear
I
the commercial?
I want to sing it for you.
Do you no, hear do the not. Commercial when you're on the broadcast? Are you aware of how often they're playing this?
Well, I know it's on there a lot, yes.
Yeah, but it's not in your headsets like when
no,
you're on a game.
No.
I have grown to really dislike Shane Gillis-Alexander and Chet Holmgren.
Why?
Because of the commercial?
Yes, yes, really? Yeah, no, I don't, how could anyone root for these teams? I know you just said why you would root for them, but this is a national nightmare. It's an international nightmare. And make it make sense, this commercial's playing twice as much during hockey games.
Well, yes, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but we do cross-promote, you know, all of the both of the networks cross-promote because we both have hockey and basketball. So yeah, that's how it
they have to make now. They have to make another commercial where they poke fun at themselves, because there's a prevailing theory that because it's the market of Oklahoma City, that's the only way that you can like talk people into doing this rather embarrassing, overexposed commercial. The next AT&T commercial that they do needs to be them singing this and people running away from them, or just poke fun at themselves for doing this to us, because it is quite honestly the worst thing going on television, and I include Newsmax.
Oh, no, I don't know about that now. I don't know about that.
Are you okay with the idea that Rudy Gobert is a Hall of Famer?
You know, I would think that by the standards of who we've already put in, I don't think there's any question he's a Hall of Famer. I have said for years, and not aimed at any one player specifically, that I don't think our standards are high enough. I think the Hall of Fame should be for the absolute best of the best. I had someone tell me a few years back, gave me a criteria that made a lot of sense to me. If you couldn't be the best player on a 50-win team, you don't belong in the Hall of Fame. And that makes a lot of sense to me. So you might be the second or third best player on a team, but if you were our best player, would we still be really good? That should be a standard for Hall of Famers. There shouldn't be a role player Hall of Fame or just a defensive player's Hall of Fame. Rudy's a great defender. If Rudy Gobert were your best player, you're not winning 50 games.
I do like the idea of a role player Hall of Fame, though. And we'll get back to that, Stan. But Rudy Gobert, if you're coaching the Timberwolves and he comes to you and he says, hey, I need to be there. My wife is having a child. I need to miss game two of the Western Conference semifinals. What is your response to that?
Yeah, that's his decision. I don't have a problem with that. That's his decision. I mean, look, there's very few things, if any, that are more important in your life than the birth of a child. And so, you know, I don't have any problem with that whatsoever.
Stan, can you give me a top five role player Hall of Fame? I'd like to do that right now. First ballot, role player Hall of Famers right now.
Oh, wow.
I'd like to do it with
you. You know what?
Big Shot Bob.
Well, I probably couldn't. I mean, off the top of my head, though, there's a lot of great role players.
But Bob Horry, he just picked one. Like, yes. You have to, that's got to be
his
a first.
His role was to hit big shots.
Yeah, yes. Andy won many championships doing that. How many did he win?
Yeah,
six?
No, that's a good one. I mean, I think, to me, you would look at this whole group of defenders and rebounders, right? You'd look at Rodman and Ben Wallace and...
Wow.
But they're in the actual Hall of Fame. They're in the actual
Hall of Fame. Well, they have no business being in the Hall of Fame, is what Stan is saying.
If those people are in the
Hall of Fame. But I'm saying, I didn't say that, Stugatz, as usual.
You did say that. You did say that. Everyone heard that, right? Everyone, Stan said no. Gobert and Ben Wallace and Rodman have no business being in the Hall of Fame. That's what you said.
Listen, the Hall of Fame is...
Scott Brooks is an idiot.
...standards, whatever. But, you know, I just think... We don't necessarily confine it to the absolute best of the best. I mean, we've got some guys in there that were never first team all NBA. You know, like you should be a multiple all NBA guy. Like you have to have been a top 10 player in your era, I would think, at some time. I don't know. I just look at it differently. And then the bigger problem we have in the NBA is we don't have an NBA Hall of Fame. You know, we're combined with international leagues and women's basketball and college basketball. And so it's a little bit convoluted. And I love the Hall of Fame. I mean, I love going through there. I haven't been in a few years. I think the last time was maybe 7 years ago, but it's a great place and it celebrates the game. But as far as the criteria getting in, it gets pretty tough.
Lawrence Funderburk.
Excellent.
I don't think Lawrence Funderburk would be in the Role Player Hall of Fame.
Just wanted to say Lawrence Funderburk.
And I, you know, in the name Hall of Fame?
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, that's a different game. Wow. Wait a minute. That's a total. Let's play that game. That's a God Sham God. Is God Sham God in the name?
In the name.
God Sham God's in the playoffs right now, too. He's an assistant coach with the Dallas Mavericks.
Who else is in the name Hall of Fame? Because
out of my area of expertise, but
You brought it up.
It's one of those things that you
I brought it up when Mike brought up Lawrence Funderburk, but
how about
I'm sitting here with a list of names.
World Be Free.
Well, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
MVP of the all name team right there.
Detlef Schrempf.
Well, what was it? World Be Free, and then we had Meta World Peace, you know.
Detlef Schrempf.
Detlef Schrempf might actually be a role-playing Hall of Famer.
I think he's in the Hall of Fame.
A Donald Foyle.
Wow. Oh, man.
Wow, you're good.
You made me happy with that
Stan,
one.
Stan, I did. I seem to tickle you, tickle Stan, though. Look at Stan. Stan, unimpressed by a Donald Foyle.
No, I'm not unimpressed.
Unimpressed.
Did you just coach a Donald Foyle?
I coached Donald Foyle. So
lucky you.
I love Donald.
Fat Lever.
Oh, that's a good name.
Oh, yeah. Fat Lever.
That's
good one.
That's a good name. It is.
That's absolutely a good one.
Speedy Claxton.
I don't think Speedy was actually his name.
The problem with Speedy Claxton is it was a great name. The guy never played. I mean, he was always hurt.
I think it was his nickname. Wasn't Speedy his nickname?
Yeah, but he went by Speedy. Yeah. No one called him Nick.
Go by Speedy.
I don't think anyone called him Nick, if that even is his first name.
Did he go by Speedy, Stan? I don't know.
No one would have ever called me that, no. Yeah.
This guy never made it, but Scoony Penn.
You think Fat was his name? I mean,
I coached Scoony in summer league, and I remember him as a high school player in Massachusetts. Played for a good friend of mine. Loved Scoony.
Look at me, Louie. Pick that name up off the ground and hand it to me.
Hold on a second.
Speedy's first name is Craig.
Thank you, Stugatz. I appreciate that.
Howdy, listeners. It's Mike, and you know a lot has changed over the years. Just look at sports. There's instant replay, a three-point line, there were shifts and then not shifts. But one thing that hasn't changed over the course of all those things I just mentioned, the great taste of Miller Lite. That's right. It's so good. And it's also less filling. So what's the best thing about Miller Lite, the original light beer? Well, Miller Lite sparked this debate way back in 1975. We still haven't settled it. Be like me. I don't pick one. I like it because it's both. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality. Great taste, only 96 calories. It's a beer that strips away everything that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. You don't have to choose what's best. Be like me. Say both. Miller Lite, great taste, and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.